LT, how you doing?
I buy all my vehicles straight cash out on an open road somewhere where there's no witnesses. That's how I go. I'm well, thanks.
Smart. You get better deals that way, right?
Yeah. By the way, Volvo is a great vehicle. It really is.
You know what? I'm not a big car guy, but I've kind of fallen in love with my wife even says, like, geez, you've never kept a vehicle this clean. Like, I really like it. There's so many little, like, nuances about it. I put it on cruise control on the highway, and if you get close to a vehicle, it just slows down. It's unbelievable. I can't do the full-on self-driving, but I can do the parts of it, and it's like great. It's so more relaxing on the highway. I'm just like, oh, here we go. And I find now, because I kind of used to be, you know, maybe at times a little bit of a tailgater. And because this now slows down, not only slows down, but then keeps the proper space, I find now when I drive anywhere, I have way more space than the vehicles in front of me. So
the car is actually educating you.
Yeah, it's true, Al. Yeah. Like,
hey,
a piece of mechanics is smarter than me. Like, that's it's not a real surprise. So there you go.
And if you can just get rid of those Slurpee containers that you throw in the, you know, passenger side.
You know what, Al? I don't eat or drink in my vehicle anymore. Because then it
really?
Makes a mess.
Very good.
Oh, yeah. Well, plus I don't drive anywhere either, Al, so it's pretty easy to do it. But I did start that 2 years ago. I was like, you know what? So I'm trying to eliminate the eating. Now, my son, of course, is 70, snacks all the time. But I've decided the only thing I have is a bottle of water. It's like a thermos, right? So I don't buy bottles of water. I just fill it up when I leave, and I try to avoid that. Even when we went on our road trip, I stopped and said, "No, we're just going to stop. I'm going to eat in the parking lot." My wife's like, "Who are you?" And I'm like, "I'm an owner of a new vehicle."
So, you're Jeremiah Johnson, is who you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, evolving. I'm evolving now. Now, speaking of things that are a little premature. I've found, like, Cole Caulfield, good for Cole Caulfield. I don't understand why you can't just say, hey, Cole Caulfield, good for him, without having to say that Philip Broberg was a bad pick. Like, it seems kind of ridiculous to me.
Well, here are two things. Number one, people saw Broberg here at the Hlinka, and I'm not going to say he was the best player, but I thought he was at the Hlinka. He goes back to Sweden, he plays a different style in the Pro League, he gets drafted, and the Oilers bring him over for the bubble, and he looks brilliant. Over in the Swedish league, he's playing a different style. He's not a feature player. He's a third-pairing guy. And then he gets hurt at the World Juniors, and the second half of the year isn't fantastic. I'll tell you, I've tracked him pretty closely. He's about what Oscar Klefbom was in the SHL at the same age. A little better than that, but about the same. We know why he was drafted, because he's a great, not just good, but great skater who has terrific size. Now, all of that is positive. What he hasn't done is scored big points. I'm telling you, going back to Klefbom and before, Swedish league players who are teenagers don't get feature roles. They just don't. And so,
exactly.
So what you've got here is a guy that people don't know about, but there's also a growing group of people who just overreact to everything. You remember what happened recently when they signed Devin Shore, which, you know, I was like, the world ended. And you know, it's more of the same now. I think Caulfield's a great player. I'd like to see him do it for 82 games. Sometimes a player can get hot in the playoffs. Clearly, he's got a little more skill than some people think he does, because the advanced scouting on him wasn't great for Vegas. But, you know, the NHL defensemen are going to figure him out a little bit, and then he's going to have to adjust. That's happened to Kaito Yamamoto. It'll happen to Caulfield. I think it's great that he's playing so well, and what a bunch of energy he's added to the Montreal Canadiens. I'm not taking anything away from him, but let's see how this plays out. We're 2 years after the draft, and people are throwing in their chips. I think it's a really dangerous thing to do, and I think it's very short-sighted. And I encourage people who are maybe being influenced by folks on Twitter or wherever who are just smashing Broberg to just tune them out. Stop following them. Stop listening to them. They, honest to God, any NHL scout, any NHL person will tell you, 2 years after the draft with a Swedish defenseman, you've still got a long way to go.
Oh, Like Klefbom and Nurse were still in junior in Sweden 2 years after their draft. Broberg's exactly. on the exact same pattern as them. He'll come to the NHL. He'll probably start in the American League like both of them did. Nurse obviously was shorter. He was six games. Klefbom, I think, played something like 45 in the American League, and then he got recalled. And speaking of Klefbom, with him virtually done now, like I'll say right now, I would say I'm 99.99%. certain that Oscar Klefbom is not going to play again this season for the Edmonton Oilers this upcoming season, which is very disappointing. And that means probably not this year or the next year. That's a huge blow to the team, and that they're going to need Broberg even more in a role. Sure, they need scoring forwards too, but it's not like they've got these massive, great depth of left defensemen who can play big minutes as well. So I just, people early on in the 2009 draft, and I'm not comparing any of these players to that, it was all like, oh, Duchesne and Tavares are better. Well, defenseman takes some time. Then look at Victor Hedman. He's been an absolute force. So Cole Caulfield might be a really good scorer. Great. I hope he is. But that doesn't mean that Broberg can't be a good pick just because Cole Caulfield's the shiny toy for 25 games.
And also the things that make Caulfield special, he's a gifted goal scorer. There's no doubt about that. That made him a really, really good choice should the Oilers have done that. What attracted them about Broberg is that he's a defenseman who can skate not just well, but really, really well. And there's an old saying in baseball that speed can be used on offense and defense, and it doesn't go into slumps. And so a guy like Broberg is, he based on what we know about his scouting report on his draft day and then moving forward, he's kind of a two-way type. He's going to be able to defend really well, and he's going to be able to move the puck well, and I don't know that he'll get power play time, but, Oscar Klefbom, I think, had 1 point in his draft year in the SHL, and he ended up on an NHL power play, so it could happen. But you remember the play last night with Caulfield where he scored a goal by getting past the defenseman, and the defenseman had to think quickly, and he didn't get a good angle, and he ends up getting past him a little bit. Well, that's what Broberg's made for, is to be able to make those quick adjustments, and at speed, because he's fast, be able to recover quickly. So the National Hockey League is a very, very tough league, and Caulfield's playing well and doing great, and I think it's fantastic. I think Montreal got themselves a hell of a pick, but let's see how Broberg does before we bury the guy. And again, I thought we all agreed that the Oilers were doing better at the draft, but that apparently has gone out the window. And Dylan Holloway, I guess, is nothing. And I think that I feel a little bit of frustration with Oilers fans because, I remember when Holland was hired, and everybody said, well, God, he's got to make the playoffs. Because once you make the playoffs, you never know what's going to happen. Well, since he's arrived here and since Tippett has arrived here, they've made the playoffs twice. Now, they haven't won, and that's a fact. But they've made the playoffs, and you never know. If you talk to Montreal before the bubble, fans and Canadians, they were ready to fire everybody. And, Winnipeg was ready to fire everybody entering the playoffs this year. So I just would encourage patience. I think that I understand it's been 15 years, but Holland and Tippett have been here for two, and they made the playoffs both times. And in both of the seasons that they played, I think they finished in second in their division. There's a lot of positives here. So I just would encourage everybody it's not a reflection of your knowledge of hockey if you're hammering on Broberg today. It's just a reflection of your rage. That's all.
Al Mitchell joins us on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260. Al, a topic I'm going to talk about Craig Button with earlier, but I do know that the WHL, they had a vote to change their draft age, and it was basically split 50-50 from what I'm told for some people on inside with the vote number. So I guess that's 11-11 or whatever it was. And, to change it. So half the league is looking at changing the draft age to the same year as Ontario and Quebec, and the other half wasn't. Now that draft, they announced that, and now they're going to have their first draft in December for the 2006 born kids, and then they're going to have the draft in May normally for the 2007s. But I'm hearing now that there's more conversation that's going to happen here over the summer, and that before the start of the season, they might consider saying, hey, wait a sec, let's just go the 2006 in May, and we'll move everything back. I've crunched the numbers. Alan actually wrote an article about it. It's coming out, and I was surprised at how many, like, because one of the big arguments for the WHL was that if they have the draft earlier, they can get more kids, you know, who don't get plucked from NCAA.
Right.
Well, and so that's their theory. But now I took a 10-year span from 2004 to 2013. And did you know in those 10 years that WHL drafted players who obviously never played for them, they had twice as many as either of the OHL or Quebec League who draft picks who went to the NCAA.
Really?
So the theory that it's actually working against them because they're drafting kids a year earlier when they don't even know what they're going to do. And some kids might say, yeah, I think I'm going to play in the WHL, right? And they can't play for 14 months anyway. And maybe they don't grow. And all of a sudden they're like, well, geez, I'm not sure I'm going to go. And then they end up just and these are top picks that they just end up wasting who don't even come to their league. So, you know, not only is it not good for development, it's actually costing them, and they're wasting picks. And in a league where every 4 years you lose players, drafting the WHL is infinitely more important than it is even in the NHL.
And also, you're getting more looks at a player. You know, like I've talked to WHL scouts, and it's you know, you're trying to get a look at a player, and then you've got to find out whether they're going to play if you draft them, they're going to play for you or what their situation is. But the closer you can get to actually when they're going to play for you, I think the better off you are, because you sort of know the complete unit that you're looking at. I mean, I don't know how young you can go where it's no longer beneficial just because of growth rates to even look at a player. But I think that if you're looking at 14-year-olds, unless the guy is just stunningly good, and even then he might have just, you know, had a growth spurt early, you're probably not getting if you look at 100 kids, you're probably not getting an accurate assessment of, you know, at least half of them.
Oh, well, I think about that, Al. So let's say they're going to keep the draft in December this year. Most kids didn't play hockey last year. They didn't get to play. So now you're going to do a draft. The season starts in October, right? The schedule came out. It's October 1st. So you're going to play October, November, December. You're going to have you're going to have 2.5 months. And that's what you're going to draft a whole draft class on. And then your scouts are going to be focused on watching those kids and then trying to watch the 2007s, and they're playing in different leagues. So then you're probably going to take your 2007s and focus on them in the second half of the season, right? Because it's not like these teams can afford more scouts, right? Like,
no.
So now,
no.
Now you're going to really rip, you're going to hamper two draft classes. It makes no sense.
Yeah, and the older, like, I remember, I'm old, so I remember when the NHL used to draft guys after their 19-year-old season, and you could pretty much, like, now they say, NHL scouts say, if I can get, you know, two players in this draft, that, you know, let's say the Oilers last year, if they get two NHL players, well, that's a success. But if you were drafting them, I guess in the NHL's case, 2 years later, man, you'd have a higher success rate. That's better for the player, because the player is going to be fully blown, and he can enter the National Hockey League and go to his first camp as somebody who can compete for a job. And then on the other side of it, the organization is spending those precious draft picks on a more known quality.
Oh, 100%. Like, this is something I think the WHL, like, I don't know what goes on in those discussions, but the fact that they're contemplating it again shows me that maybe they're like, maybe this isn't the best thing for our league. And I'd love to see it, because I think it would benefit the players. It would benefit the league overall, because you're going to have more hits made on draft picks. And the other thing, just from a purely financial standpoint, is I compare over those same 10 years, the WHL to the OHL. And because maybe some people know this, maybe they don't, but the NHL basically pays the CHL for drafted players. And a player who's drafted in the first round gets them more money for their league than a guy who's drafted in the seventh round.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know the exact figure, but let's just say for fun, it's 100 grand to the league if you get a first round pick. It's 75 for a second, 50 for a third, and goes down the list. Well, if you can develop more high-end players in your league, then your league's getting more money. So that's benefiting to the teams as well.
Well, and it's not like, I think any junior league has their haves and their have-nots. Like, the Edmonton is a have team. It's Oil Kings. They play in a great building. It's a bigger city. There's a lot positive going on. But if I'm like Medicine Hat, I really want to draft a little bit later because that's my whole life's blood. I'm not going to be able to, pick up. I remember when the Oil Kings picked up Samuelson, that just because it was Edmonton coming to an NHL caliber rink, known, people dealing with the family and that sort of thing, it gives you a huge advantage. But if you're Medicine Hat, you know, the older you can get, the longer you can go. And I think that's important for the league in terms of structure, because there are because if you don't have enough talent, there are going to be teams that are just so bad that they're not, they're not good enough to push the league to get better. And you always want to have strong teams, because if you have great competition when you're 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, then by the time you would get to NHL age, then you are, battle-hardened, even coming out of junior.
LT, who are you taking in Game 7?
Well, I don't know. Game 7s are a coin flip, and I think Tampa Bay should win this, but I got to tell you that Barry Trotz is some kind of Houdini. He just is. And I'm going to pick Tampa Bay, but I'm probably going to cheer for the Islanders. How's that?
All right. Hey, you're filling in for Strud sitting on the fence. I appreciate it.
Hey, can I mention Danny Dimes or anything? Because if I'm Struds, I gotta throw some dumbass Giants talk in here, don't I?
Oh yeah, why not? Yeah, why not?
Now they're gonna go. Whatever games they play now, is it 17? They're gonna go 11-6 this year, and they're gonna be great, and they're gonna win the Super Bowl. I'm Strudwick. That's
awesome.
That's all I hear.
Okay, Al, we'll talk to you on Monday.
Boys, be good. Have a great weekend.